Working to cleanse my guilt and pride. Blood of Christ the crucified.
Unleavened Bread Ministries presents
From your hands, your feet, your side.
Unleavened Bread Bible Studies with David Eales.
Can quench my thirsting soul. Purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus. I trust in you.
Well, I got this very interesting revelation that was given to Daryl Strong here. He received a blessing from the Lord. And it came to me on a day I was writing an article on the exact same thing, which was just a few days ago. I was writing an article on the exact same thing. We called it Overcoming the Logos Rhema Error to Receive. And Daryl definitely did that. He had this error all around him, and he just didn't believe it. He overcame the temptation to believe it, and he received from the Lord. And I wrote an article on that. I was just working on it at that time, actually. And let me share this with you. He sent this on the 16th of this month, and he wrote to Bill and the prayer team. And he said, I was inspired to pray for a microphone on my Bluetooth headset that stopped working last Sunday. I heard the testimony from the brother that prayed about the audio problems he was experiencing while creating the UBM videos. And after hearing that and reading a few more testimonies about a restored hard drive, iPods, etc., I wanted to stand in faith that God would restore this microphone on my headset. I recognize that God can heal not only physical ailments, but also physical devices. And we've certainly proven that. That's a creative miracle when God does that, right? Praise God. So he was believing God. He said, and Bill replied back to him, back to Daryl, with a prayer. And a portion of it was, we add our faith to Daryl's and we believe according to your word in Mark 11 and 24 and Matthew 18, 18 through 20 and Hebrews 11 and 1. And Daryl replied back a little while after that. He said, I just wanted to pass on a testimony. You agreed in faith with me on 10-6 of 09 that my microphone on my headset would begin to work again. Well, praise God. Sure enough, on 10-8, my mic began to function properly again. I told others around me the real good news and gave glory to God, not me. Amen. Amen. Well, he agreed in faith with Bill, Matthew 18 and 19. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father, right? And Mark 11 and 24, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. So, God's Word. You don't have to get a spoken word from God to stand on his promise that he's already spoken unto you. If he said it, he means it. And you can act on that. You can step out on that. And God will manifest a miracle. And that's what he did here. And now comes the trial of the faith. He said, but then, and this happens too, folks. You just have to remember that if the Lord fixed it, he fixed it. It's fixed. Don't walk by sight. You walk by faith. You remember it was fixed when you agreed together. It was fixed then. So if it appears to waver, in other words, it's fixed one day and then the next day it's not, don't you waver, because if you waver, you're going to lose it, okay? So hold fast the confession of your hope that it waver not, for he is faithful that promised. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. You know, he's waiting for us to give a confession before God and before man, to confess him before men. If you do these things, you will see miracles. So, the next day came and the trial of my faith began. My microphone would not work the next day for no reason. Well, there was some reason, wasn't it? But the main reason was, of course, the trial of Daryl's faith, right? That was the main reason from God's perspective. I resisted the thought of buying another set or taking the unit apart myself and sought the Lord through His Word in order to come against the doubt that was beginning to grow in my mind. And of course, doubt grows in your mind as you begin to get your eyes on the problem instead of on the promise, right? And don't cast down the imaginations. You see, every time you get into a trial of your faith, imaginations start coming that are against God. And it can be coming out of your mind, or it can be the devil who's helping it along, you know, either way. But at any rate, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 to cast down those vain imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God being the Word of God. What does it say? What does it say? So there's your trial. And in the course, you know, the trial of his faith came after he got what he asked for. Happens all the time. You just hold fast. Tell the devil, no, I'm not changing my mind. And he'll leave you. He'll tempt you. He'll try you. And he'll have to leave. It's like he did Jesus, right? So he resisted the thought and warred against that doubt in his mind. He said, it's funny. As I looked at the examples given for saved and salvation, which is the word sozo and soteria, I realized that this includes physical healing, saving from difficult situations, deliverance from demons, all such things as that. But I wondered if this indeed included the fixing of things. And although I have read others having their broken items fixed via prayer, I still had this doubt inside my mind as to whether God desired to do this or not. Well, you know, he gave one of the things there was saving from difficult situations. You know, if you got something that's broken and you need it fixed, my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory. And matter of fact, you may not even need it. You might have money in your pocket. You just want to do it by faith. Well, I'll tell you, God honors that because he's already provided for that. So he had this wonder, well, does this cover this, you know? Well, there's those catch-all verses, right? He said, so I looked at the two verses you had mentioned, Bill had mentioned, in his response to me, Matthew 18 and 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, what does anything not cover, right? Anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. So this agreeing, this agreeing in faith for something from God is covered. It's covered. It's covered by this verse. It shall be done for them of my Father in heaven. And Mark 11 and 24 was the other verse. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. All things whatsoever, once again, that don't leave anything out, so it just covers this situation perfectly, you know? So, believe it or not, there are people that don't believe that this is covered or anything is covered outside of waiting on God to tell you, hey, I'll fix that. But how many times does God do that? Rarely. Very rarely. So these people usually do without. This is the logos rhema error, that you can't expect to receive anything from God unless he speaks to you a fresh word, like the one he already gave you and wrote in the book is a lie. You know, like he's going to do anything but what he says in his book. Okay, so that's the logos rhema error. And Daryl went on to say, based on these two verses, I knew God desired to do this. By Scripture, I had the right to ask and believe. So I did all I could do at this point. I rested. See, people say, well, what can I do? Well, you can rest. You know, that's the thing. You cease from your works. You enter into the rest, believing that God has answered. He said, believe you have received, right? Now, then on Monday morning, 10:12, I tried my mic again and it worked. And it has given me no problems since. Praise God. So he endured the trial of his faith. He came through it. God answered. And God figured it was enough, and it's been working ever since. Glory be to God. Well, when I testified to other Christians about standing in faith on the promises that God has given us as believers, I'm usually always met with a response of, quote, God will only heal, deliver, fix, etc. by faith those people or things that he gives you a specific word beforehand. And this is the logos rhema error. And these people never get anything, hardly. It's a rare thing that they ever get anything. And so, since they don't have any fruit, you really shouldn't pay any attention to them, honestly. Because their error is just that. It's an error. And these verses that Daryl quoted here soundly refute that. Soundly. Okay. Daryl went on to say, most Christians I know think that God won't honor his word or his promises for every believer unless he tells them he wants to. Well, I don't agree with this. I believe that his promises of salvation are available to us today if we stand on them without doubting and we put ourselves in a position of weakness for God to deliver us. This is not an easy thing to do, since we need to wield the sword of the word in our own life to come against all our own doubting and thoughts and feelings that betray us. As a matter of fact, I discovered these verses 2 nights ago, which confirmed this. And he gives 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace to you and peace be multiplied. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, the knowledge of God will multiply your grace, which is God's favor to you. Concerning anything, it doesn't matter if it's healing or whether it's mics or anything like that. It'll be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. What does the Bible say? Believe what the Bible says. Okay. You don't have to have God tell you, yes, my word is true. That's kind of ridiculous, isn't it? All you have to do is believe what he's already said. And that logos will become a rhema to you because now you hear God. You're not just hearing that word on a page. You're hearing God. You're getting your rhema right there because you're a believer. I tell you, when a person is humble to the word of God, that logos becomes a rhema to him. Verse 3. Of the same book, 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power hath granted, that's past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge, there it is again, of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So when you get the knowledge of what the Bible says, you know that God has already given this to you. Already given this to you. You understand that? Okay. And verse 4, whereby he hath granted unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that's in the world by lust. He has given unto us his precious and exceeding great promises, that through these promises, it comes to you through the word, through believing the promises that you receive of his divine nature. Meaning, you're standing here representing Jesus Christ as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God himself lives in you. And the only way that God can speak out of you is if you will agree with his word. And in other words, we don't have to wait for God to speak something to us. We can speak it. We can believe what the Bible says. We can be a vessel through whom God can speak and speak it. You know, a prophet becomes a vessel of God when the anointing speaks through him. Now, if you just believe what the Word of God says, you're believing the Rhema, which was spoken when that was written in that book. You're not just paying attention to what's written on the page. There's lots of people that read the letter and they get nothing from it. They don't even understand it. They might even be able to have a photographic memory and be able to quote it, you know, coming and going. But that don't mean it's going to be anything in them. It's only if they believe it that it actually becomes a Rhema and speak it. And they can be a vessel through whom that the Rhema can be spoken. So I read that it confirms to me that God already has given these promises to us. They are ours if we believe them and walk in them by faith. We don't need a voice from God telling us when to walk in them. We can today. Amen. Absolutely true. And it's true by proof of all the people who have done this. So anybody comes up to you and tells you, you can't receive anything from God unless he speaks it to you. You know, I've always heard, and it makes a whole lot of good sense, is a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. You know, you can say, well, you don't know what you're talking about because it's happened for me. So all your theology is hot air, right? It's crazy that people can actually, well, I'm going to tell you, it's a demon doctrine. It's a demon doctrine that has come to destroy faith in the Word of God. And the people that have it, they usually get nothing from God. They're powerless and so on. Well, I'll share with you my piece of a revelation here. And it's about the Logos Rhema delusion. You know, when I was young in the Lord, I was full of faith in the Word, and I acted on it, and I saw results. And shortly after this, I became familiar with the fact that I could believe what the promises said and speak healing and deliverance and provision and miracles and so on and so forth. And I became familiar, too, with people who believed the Logos Rhema doctrine. At that time, I saw that it came out of the more liberal, unbelieving side of unspirit-filled Christianity. And I think it started as an excuse for why they were not getting any results for healing. Vine's Expository Dictionary, which is the best one I've found, mainly because he goes back to the ancient manuscripts and doesn't just stick with a younger version. He says that logos is, number one, the expression of thought. The logos is the expression of thought. And number two, of course, it's used as the personal word, a title of the Son of God. However, the Rhema denotes that which is spoken, which is uttered in speech or in writing. Okay. Logos is a root word for thought, and Rhema is a root word for speaking. So we think of a word or promise, and when we speak it as God's mouthpiece on earth, things happen. It's amazing they're waiting for a word from God when they're the ones that are supposed to be giving that word. You know, Romans chapter 10 and verse 8, it says, but what saith it? The word here is Rhema, the word is nigh thee. The Rhema is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Rhema of faith, which we speak, which we preach. Because if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So with the heart, you believe what the Word of God says, what the Logos says. You believe it. Then God calls you righteous. You see, he said, with the heart, you believe unto righteousness. He calls you righteous. So you are justified. See, so you need to be justified before you can get grace from God. And so when you believe what the Bible says, the Logos, you believe it enough to speak it out of your mouth, he just said it becomes a rhema. So while the Logos rhema folks are waiting for their rhema, believers are getting it. And they're speaking it. They're a vessel through whom it flows. So when the Logos is spoken in agreement with God, it becomes a rhema. And it saves, delivers, heals, provides, on and on and on, anything. Because now you're beginning to walk like a son of God and talk like a son of God. And, of course, this is just what Jesus said in Luke 10 and 16. He says, he that heareth you heareth me. How awesome. Yeah. He that heareth you heareth me. And he that rejecteth you rejecteth me. And he that rejecteth me rejecteth him that sent me. So therefore, we are his ambassadors. You know what an ambassador does, right? An ambassador is somebody who represents another country to the particular country that he's in. And we represent the kingdom of heaven. We represent Jesus Christ. We are here to speak on his behalf. And when you do that, guess what that is coming out of your mouth? It's the rhema. Glory be to God. It's the rhema that these folks are waiting on and never get. Well, those in the Logos rhema error do not understand about the rhema being spoken by God's people who are ambassadors of Christ and represent and speak for him on earth. John 3 and 34. For he whom God hath sent speaks the rhema of God. So while they're waiting to get a rhema from God in their ears or in their brains or in their spirit, they are supposed to be being a vessel of the rhema. That's the problem. And that's why they're not getting anything. When the Lord says something, it's a Logos, he means it. And if you don't believe it, you don't get your rhema. Okay? As Jesus was the body of Christ and spoke the rhema to see God's provision, so are we the body of Christ to speak his provision. Ephesians 6 and 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Who did he say take it? He told us to take it. Which is the rhema of God. What Jesus spoke as a rhema became a written word or logos until his people speak it again as a rhema. Okay, that makes sense because it's right out of the word, right? Not much to argue with there. But I tell you, demon doctrines, you cannot convince someone with a demon doctrine. You can give all the reasonable scriptures, show it right straight out. It don't make any difference. These people are very proud of that doctrine and they're not willing to back up. Romans 10 and 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Even as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. But they did not all hearken to the glad tidings. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So belief cometh of hearing, and hearing by the rhema of Christ. You don't believe it, you don't get a rhema. But I say, did not they hear? Yea, verily their sound went out into all the earth, and their words, rhema. Who was the rhema? Their words, not the word from God, the word through them from God. Their words, rhema, unto the ends of the world. So while they're waiting, there are people out there who are the vessel through whom the rhema is flowing. Okay. Those who are sent speak the rhema to the ends of the earth. And if you are a disciple of Christ, and he's given you authority, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. And he's given you authority by these promises, like whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Do you believe the word of God? Why are you waiting on God when God delegated his authority to you? See, you're being a useless Christian if you're not taking that authority that he gave you and using it. I mean, yeah, you can tell people about Jesus, but they want to see Jesus, right? Those who don't believe the report, according to the verse we just looked at, or the word, the logos, cannot speak the rhema of God. What they speak is a false idol rhema. It's a spoken word, all right, but it's an idol rhema. You know, here it is right here. Matthew 12:36. I say unto you that every idol rhema, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. How can one speak an idle rhema? Because they quote the Logos, but it has no power to save, heal, deliver, because it is not in agreement with the context, because of their doctrine is wrong. Kind of like the Logos rhema doctrine. All of their speaking of the word has not gotten the people their benefits. They haven't mixed that word with faith, or it's perverted. They've twisted it, tweaked it for their own purposes, or whatever, you know. And so it becomes what the Bible calls an idol rhema. The truth is, while God's wise people are speaking the rhema, the Logos rhema sect are unbelievingly waiting for God to speak it in their mind or their ears. This false, faith-robbing doctrine is that you cannot stand on the written word, the Logos of God, for anything until God actually speaks the verse to you as a rhema to tell you that what he has said already in his word was true. Well, that's kind of ludicrous, isn't it? But that's exactly what the doctrine is. Why would God have to repeat himself, which he often refuses to do when people are not believing, even while they wait for their benefits? See, they're waiting for God. God, tell me your word is true. Does that make any sense to you? Well, that's what their doctrine is. You'll come across this. They'll even prove it theologically to you. They'll show it to you in the word, but they'll have no fruit. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And what do I mean by fruit? I mean living in the miracles. They won't have any of that. Well, yeah, how many times have you been healed? Oh, what's happened to me a time? Oh, I think I remember. No, I'm talking about living a life of miracles, okay? The rich man in torments wanted Abraham to send Lazarus to his brethren to tell them not to go to that place. In Luke 16:31, he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, what is he talking about? If they don't hear what they said in the word, right, the Logos, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. Well, Jesus came to us from the dead, and these people will not hear him. So I say to you, hear the word, or you may never hear God. When, in fact, lots of people all their life can't tell you that they ever heard God. So would they ever get anything from God? Not according to that doctrine, they wouldn't. Well, when they first came to me as a young Christian with this doctrine, I noticed that they were not getting any signs or wonders or healings or anything. You know, I knew these were dead letter people. I asked them why they believed in this since it really didn't bear any fruit. And all they had was a theological argument that destroyed the scriptures that were getting a lot of people healed and delivered and so on and so forth. It was and is very, very destructive. The purveyors of this doctrine are guilty of the death of multitudes through destroying their faith to accept what the word says already happened at the cross. That's the whole point. You don't have to get God to do something that he says has already happened at the cross. You just have to believe it happened, right? So while these guys are waiting, and while they're telling people, you can't believe any of this Bible until God speaks it to you. Wow. How many people are they going to kill like that? Exactly so. How many people are going to do without like that? Exactly so. So who's guilty here? I was getting healing consistently for my family, myself, and many others, but they were proud of their doctrine and just did without. Well, folks, why? Of course, one brother who criticizes me because I don't believe his doctrine on this, you know, he says that I'm wrong, that I'm hearing the voice of God. I don't know who's better qualified to say that than me. Some people say, oh, David, you just got the gift of faith. You got gifts of faith, you know, gifts of healings. And I have to say, well, I can tell you for a fact that I just dogmatically do my very best to not depart from the Word of God. If it says something, I say it. If it says something, I think he means it. And so I say it. You know, I don't necessarily feel any word from God. And most all of the miracles I've seen were that way. So the guy says, oh, well, you were getting the word from God. No, I don't buy that. I believe that I was being a vessel through whom God could speak, you know, because I was in agreement with him. How can two walk together except they be agreed? When you read the Logos, if you believe it, you're not only getting your rhema, you can speak that rhema. You're hearing, when you hear what the Logos says, you're getting a rhema. Remember, the Logos is just the written word. It's the word on that page. It won't do you a bit of good while it's still on that page. But if you hear it, it becomes the rhema. Now, these people don't hear it because, first of all, they don't believe that there's any power in that Logos. Folks, Jesus was the Logos. Was there power in Jesus? Yeah, that was his name. He was the Word of God, the Logos of God. He wasn't the Rhema of God. He was the Word of God, the Logos of God. So when that word on the page is real to you and you believe it and you hear it in your spirit, guess what? That's God talking. That's a Rhema. Okay. And of course, their doctrine is if you hear a Rhema, you get healed. If you don't, that's what God made the doctors and the drugs for. But Jesus and his disciples relied on neither of these. Some of these people died of the side effects of drugs. And they still do today because that's their doctrine. If you don't hear a rhema, go to the drugs, which is what they do overwhelmingly, is go to the drugs. And that's because they do not hear God's rhema. They are not humble to the Logos. If you are humble to the Logos, you're hearing what it says, and what it says is the Rhema, okay? So they're not humble to that. They have no respect for the written Logos. They want to hear a voice. Well, how many of you know there's lots of voices out there, you know? And the fact that people are going crazy listening to voices, totally berserk listening to voices, but they don't have the foundation of the Logos. And so they have any kind of doctrine, they have any kind of actions, and they're just waiting on the voice of the Spirit. Whatever Spirit it was, they don't know because they don't have the Logos and they don't respect the Logos. And so they get nothing. That's the fruit of that doctrine. Always look at the fruit. That's the first thing I looked at. I was a baby Christian and I looked at the fruit. I says, well, okay, it ain't working for them. It certainly ain't going to work for me. I mean, I was a baby Christian and I was seeing miracles, but I was doing it because I just believe in what I was reading. I mean, just we might as well just keep it simple, you know. Don't get a theologian mix you all up and, you know, you make it complicated. It's not complicated. When we give God's healing gift to others, they need to believe it too. You know, Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God. The gospel. What's written in that book? That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. But when you believe it, what does it become? It becomes a rhema to you because you have heard. You have ears to hear. You are a believer. You know what these folks are? They're not believers. They're not believing. It's very simple. And like Jesus said unto them, be it unto you according to your faith. He didn't say, if you get a word, or as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. He didn't say, if you get a word, if you get a rhema, or thy faith hath made thee whole. Two of you agree, it shall be done. Seeing their faith. That was the only condition all the way through the Bible, is you put faith in the Logos, you get a rhema. A teacher of the Logos Rhema error who has written against me teaches that Jesus had to hear from the Father which one he would heal, as though God is a respecter of persons. But the Bible says he healed them all. Over and over it says this. And it's because they had a covenant with God. In other words, God guaranteed his benefits through his covenant already. And so, the Bible says he healed them all. And it was through faith in what Jesus said. In just one gospel, it says all the way through that gospel, he healed them all. In all the gospels it does, but I'm going to just give you one. Matthew 4 and 24, 8 and 16, 9 and 35, 12 and 15, 14, 35 and 36. And his disciples healed all of them too. Acts 5 and 16. Hebrews 13 and 8. See, according to their doctrine, the Father would have said no at least once, or they wouldn't have got a rhema at least once. But the fact is, that never happened. Because he healed them all. Well, now look, in my ministry, a lot of people have been healed over the last 35, 36 years. Lots of people have been healed. But anybody's got the Logos Rhema doctrine, that's not going to be happening. So why is God not talking to them and he's talking to me according to their doctrine? Is he a respecter of persons? See, if I'm getting healing, it has to be because I'm getting a rhema. Well, where am I getting that rhema? I can tell you the overwhelming majority of the time, it's just because I believe what the Bible says. Pure and simple. So he's a respecter of persons. He hadn't given these people any faith. He ain't speaking to them no rhema. And no, God doesn't really say no. He says yes. He says yes to all of his promises. He's not going to say no. Because his word says, for howsoever many be the promises of God in him is the yes. God who cannot lie will not break his covenant. It doesn't matter if it's written on that page. He won't break it. You can break it because you don't believe it and you're not getting a rhema, but he's not going to break it. The only condition to partake of this covenant is faith, and you really can't have faith unless you'll repent of your sins, because your sins will condemn you and you won't have any faith, right? But Jesus said over and over and over, that was the condition. Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So on and so forth. The only condition to partake of this covenant is faith, not another word from God. When individual instances were taken out of the multitudes and described in detail, it was clear that Jesus, who is the Logos, asked for some expression of their faith as the only condition to receive. So why didn't he just speak the Logos to him? Why didn't he just speak the Rhema to him? No, he said there's a condition. You got to believe the word. You have to believe the Logos. He was the Logos, but he told them that if they didn't have faith in the Logos, he couldn't give it to them. Wow. So when they believed the Logos, who was Jesus, they had ears to hear. Remember Jesus said, all the time he said this, to him that has ears to hear, You know, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't have any ears to hear. They're never getting a rhema because they don't believe the Logos. The only thing that you have to add to the Logos of the good news is hearing faith. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For indeed we have had good tidings preached unto us, even as also they, but the word," or Logos, "of hearing did not profit them, because it was not united with faith in them that heard." Okay, so hearing faith mixed with the Logos makes a rhema, because now you're hearing it. It's not just on the page, right? You see that? Okay. And verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter into that rest, even as he has said, as I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Oh my goodness. Listen, these people who do not have ears to hear are not getting a rhema. They're not entering into the rest. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. Why do we know it's true? Because it's already happened. You're not waiting for God to tell you anything to give you what he's given you. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. All you've got to do to enter into those works that were already accomplished is to hear the Logos. When you read it, do you have ears to hear? When you do, it becomes a rhema, because it speaks to you personally. Okay? So, we're not waiting for God to speak, because the works of healing, deliverance, blessing, provision, etc., were already finished, for by whose stripes you were healed. Notice that God said, "were healed." And he took our infirmities, and he bare our diseases. All of these are past tense. You're not waiting on God to do anything. He says it's done. Because the Logos Rhema folks do not believe the gospel, this is the gospel, that it's already done. The gospel isn't that you look down the road in front of you and see that God's going to do it, or you believe he's going to do it. The gospel is that you look behind you and you see he's already done it. Now that's what gives you the rest. You see, he's already done it. So the Logos Rhema folks, they don't believe the gospel, that our healing was already accomplished at the cross. And it is accomplished to anybody that believes our words. It's accomplished for them. All we got to do is speak it to them. You know, Mark 16:15. "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." He didn't say he that gets a word from God, or that you should tell them, "You can't have this unless you get a word from God." No, Jesus never did that. He was the word, you know, and that's what we're supposed to be. The walking Logos, the word of God written upon our hearts. So he told them to go in all the world and preach to the whole creation. And anybody that believes, not anybody that hears a word, but anybody that believes the word that they speak and is baptized shall be saved. And he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you believe the correct doctrine, you'll be laying hands on the sick and they'll be recovered. In other words, you'll have fruit. So just check out the Logos Rhema folks and you'll find out they got no fruit. It's an accident when they get something. It's the rule with God's people who just believe the word. It's the norm with them, you know. A normal Christian life is having miracles every day, because God's provision for you is true every day, because it's already passed. It's already finished. They're waiting for God to do something, and God's waiting for them to do something. Okay? So this is very plain. Those who are not getting results in healing are not believing the gospel. It's just that simple. We are getting results by the thousands, and it's clear that Jesus wasn't waiting on the Father to speak a word of healing. He was just waiting for them to believe it. It's very obvious. It's all through his word. These folks don't understand that the Father gave Jesus authority, which is the right to use power yourself. You're not waiting on the Lord to give you a word. He has given you authority to use power. That's a big difference. See? So while they're waiting to get their word, other people are taking their authority. John 5:27. And he gave him authority to execute judgment. You say, well, yeah, he was the Son of God. Sure, of course. That's not what he said. And he gave him authority to execute judgment because he is a son of man. See, the Father from the beginning gave this authority to Adam. He lost it because he gave it up to the devil. He got this authority not because he was the Son of God, but because he was the Son of Man. And because man was given authority over the creation. Adam lost it. Jesus restored it. Jesus gave authority unto us as sons of man, saying, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And Luke 9:1. And he called the 12 together, gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure disease. Over all demons? Wait a minute. Don't they have to get a word? Yeah, they got one right there. It's called Luke 9:1. Okay? He gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So if you got authority to do this, are you waiting on God to tell you this again? Or are you going to believe that he actually gave you authority out of the word? Well, if you got ears to hear, you're going to believe exactly what the word says. Matthew 18:18 says, verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. He gave us authority. I'll just read you a text here, okay? Hold on just a second. I'm going to go look at it in Hebrews chapter 2. Sonny was asking, some of you couldn't hear that, but Sonny was asking, could I expound on this Son of Man thing? Let's go back to see what the Bible says. In fact, Paul in Hebrews quotes Psalm 8, where it was spoken to men. In fact, it was spoken of Adam. And so I'll just read this to you. Hebrews chapter 2. For not unto angels did he subject the world to come, whereof we speak, but one hath somewhere testified. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Now, he wasn't talking about Jesus here. He's going to talk about Jesus in just a minute. Jesus was a son of man, okay? But he's talking about son of man in general here, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. And thou didst set him over the works of thy hands. Go back and read Psalm 8. You'll find he wasn't talking about Jesus. In fact, he went on to talk about, he gave him authority over all the cattle, all of the, you know, sheep, all of the, so, you know, he was talking about the sons of man, not the sons of God. And he goes on to say, and thou didst put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he subjected all things unto him, he left nothing that is not subject unto him. It was true of Adam. And now it's true of the last Adam's children too, because Jesus passed this authority on to his children through his promises. And Adam would have passed that authority on to his children, but he fell into sin. And his servant you are whom you obey. He obeyed the devil, so he gave the authority to the devil. Where did the devil get authority? He got it from Adam. And anybody that sinned ever since, he got the authority. He gets his authority from you. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. He gets his authority from you when you sin, when you listen to him. But now we see not yet all things subject unto him. But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus. Now this is the first new creation Adam here. He's called the last Adam, but he's the first new creation Adam because he's born from above, right? And so he came to restore what the first Adam lost. But we behold him. See, but there as a conjunction, it's talking about something different here. But we behold him who hath been made a little lower than the angels, even Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste of death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So God is in the work of making sons of God, many sons of God unto glory. To make the author of their salvation, that is the beginning of God's new creation man, Jesus Christ, the author, perfect through sufferings. So God started with Jesus, and his plan was to continue creating sons. Whoever believed in his word, they too would speak that word, you see. So we are to be disciples of Christ, okay, to continue on speaking in agreement with the Lord. The Bible says that he sent his word and healed them. Some people are expecting a new word from God. But God said he sent his word and healed them. We don't have to hear God tell us that he saved us, that he forgave us, because we just believe it's written in the word, right? So why do these people think we got to get healed in that way or delivered in that way? We don't have to wait any more for that. The Lord has said it is done. And so we just accept it. We have ears to hear. So therefore it becomes a rhema to us because we're hearing it. Okay. Jesus' disciples didn't say to the sick, no, you have to wait to hear a voice from God before you can get healed. They never said that. Why are these people saying something they never said? They're never saying that. All they're saying is the same thing Jesus said. If you believe, that's it. That's it. If you believe. But why make it complicated? Because the devil wants to make it complicated. He wants to rob you of the blessings. And they proved this by healing all who came believing and confessing faith. James agreed that if you're not doubtful, you'll receive. If you're doubtful, you won't receive. James chapter 1, verse 6. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. For he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Did you hear that verse? What would this doctrine do to a person that needs something from God? First thing it would do is make them doubt because they're waiting on a voice from God. And he says, don't think you're going to receive anything from the Lord. You're double-minded. Why? Because you don't believe just exactly what the book says. Any doubt can thwart healing or deliverance. The Logos Rhema doctrine says that when one is not healed, it's because there was no Rhema. This is a false assumption. And it's not biblical. Actually, it's a false assumption for the sake of winning an argument because they don't know the conditions of hearing faith were met by the person who was prayed for. Because Jesus said, everyone who believes receives. That's what Jesus said. Everyone who believes receives. So their presumption is totally wrong. James said, if you're double-minded, think not you will receive anything from the Lord.
For information, materials, and to contribute, go to unleavenedbreadministries.org.
Can cleanse
Contributions only may be addressed to David Eales, Post Office Box 23-1616, Montgomery, Alabama, 36123.
Can quench my thirsting soul, purest water made me whole. Let your streams of mercy flow, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. And when I face that darkest night, what will be my guiding light? The shining rays of red and white, Jesus, I trust in you. O Sacred Heart, in you I find mercy seated for all time. I am yours and you are mine, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus, I trust in you. Though the mountains fall into the sea, though the rivers rise, I still believe. For your mercy stands and your word is true, oh Jesus. Lord Jesus, oh Jesus, I trust in you, I trust in you, I trust in you. My Lord Jesus.